I've got some thoughts for you appropriate to today. When we were kids, some of us got involved because we were looking to blow off steam. We were looking to burn off a little energy, and we got scraped and we got bruised, and we put together a neighborhood battle. Anybody ever play a neighborhood game, a pickup game of basketball or football or baseball or whatever? You know, you play the pickup game, and you know, it was something that we were kind of casual about, but sometimes we weren't casual about it. I mean, if you hit me too hard, I usually tried to return the favor with blessing. Okay, thou shalt not lie. I'm sorry. In a few short hours, the largest television audience in the entire world are going to gather around their screens to literally see giants stand off in battle across a battle line of scrimmage that'll provide bragging rights for the next year and even possibly for some for the rest of their lives. Whistles will blow and crowds will roar and a leather ball will literally fly through the air and bodies going full steam ahead will absolutely crash going in the opposite direction for 4 15-minute quarters. Men's destinies will play out as they exert their entire energies to move that ball to what they consider the right side of the field. Guts. Determination, planning, practice, rallies, coach exhortation, coach confrontations, coach encouragements, and the roar of the 12th man. And it all comes down to this. In the end, I pray the Seahawks emerge victorious. Lord, please let them win. Amen. You got to forgive my homegrown passion, okay? People, though, have a lot riding on this game. Broadcasting to millions, careers are made and lost in a few hours, and I got to tell you, it's probable and possible some entire fortunes will be inappropriately, but lost or made today. Americans will be glued to their television sets with the burning question, who's going to win? What does it take to become a Super Bowl champion? Reality tells us that the winner of today's game is the team who most exhibits the greatest desire, the greatest amount of discipline, the greatest amount of commitment, the greatest focus, say with me, keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. The greatest willingness to sacrifice everything, and indeed the greatest character. And the team that exhibits that, whether you care about it or not, is the team that will win the Super Bowl. It all started, for most of them, with a little neighborhood game. It could become serious. For some, it became everything. Their one thing. By the way, whether you know it or not, I read an article the other day, and it's very soft-spoken in the one. It's very soft-spoken in both, but do you understand both quarterbacks are dedicated Christians? I read an article the other day about Peyton Manning, who talks very specifically about answering an altar call, going forward and dedicating his life to Jesus Christ. Russell Wilson, was in church this morning in New York with Sean Alexander, if you remember, a dedicated Christian out on the football field. And Peyton's comment was, he's kept his priorities in his life always the same. Faith, family, friends, and football, and in that order. The one tangible thing became his one thing. In any sport, there are some, if not most, who just play at the game, pick up a neighborhood game, but only a few step up their game to become Super Bowl champions. Guess where the rest of the NFL is today? Watching the game. Vince Lombardi, we will have this quote. Former coach of the Green Bay Packers and the winning coach of Super Bowl number one, and the trophy they give out is the what? Lombardi trophy. He said this, what does it take to become number one? Winning is not a sometime thing, it's an all the time thing. You don't win once in a while, you don't do things right once in a while, you do them right, say it with me please, all the time. Winning is a what? Habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. Every time a football player goes to play or to play his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet right up to his head. Every inch of him has to play. Now, Pastor Kevin, why are you talking about this? Because there are a lot of principles that apply to our walk with Jesus Christ. There are a lot of principles applied to our lives. You can be sold out to Jesus and be what I want to call this morning a Super Bowl Christian. Or you can be casual, indifferent, and never accomplish more than a couple of hours on Sunday like a neighborhood game. May I ask you, church, this morning, what is in your heart? What's in mine? Are we different than the Super Bowl? Yeah. You know why? Because your walk with Jesus has eternal consequences. Eternal consequences. Turn to each other saying, your eternity is in the hands of the Lord. Your eternity is in the hands of the Lord. Powerful, isn't it? How many want to be a Super Bowl Christian? Better than a Super Bowl Christian. Sold out the whole route. Number one, few points this morning. Wholeheartedness. Say it with me. Wholeheartedness. This word covers the passion of it all. What is your desire this morning? Your desire leads to your discipline. Are you in it to win it? And lest you think I'm inappropriate, I'm going to share a few scriptures where the Apostle Paul had this stream of teaching through what he taught us in the scripture. Do you want to be like Jesus so much that you allow him to change you, to lead you, to guide you? Have you surrendered to Jesus? And when I said, Lord Jesus, I surrender, I didn't say for a couple hours on Sunday morning. I said, take it all. Take it all in my life. Lord, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. I surrender everything to you. Folks, that's why we're here on Sunday morning, to grow and to be more like him. Someone say amen or oh no. This isn't just a neighborhood game. But in the theme of the morning, we want to be Super Bowl Christians, or even more, holy running the race that he's given. Watch the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. I want you to boom out that sentence with me. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Again, run in such a way as to get the prize. We're not talking about competition with each other. We're talking about running the game of life the Lord has put before us. And I want to do it with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Lord Jesus, I want to be everything you want me to be. Come on, can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
I want to be everything you've called me to be, Lord. Everyone who competes in the games, Paul said, goes into what? Strict training. No, come on, we don't want to talk about that in church. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will what? Last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, those who play in the Super Bowl today have one thing as their natural lives aim toward, to be the best they can possibly be. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But, say it with me, one thing I do. One thing I do. He was a man of one thing. What do? I forget what is behind and strain forward, strain toward what is ahead. Say it with me, please. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I let go of the past. All of the sins that I've committed, if I've repented before the Lord, they are under the blood of Jesus and I don't need to bring them back up again. Can you say amen?
Amen.
They're under the blood. I've been covered. I've been forgiven. I've been set free. I'm clean and I walk by grace. I'm going to forget what's behind me. I'm reaching forward to what's before me. What is before me? Jesus is before me. I want Him. I want to look like Him. I want to talk like Him, think like Him. I want to act like Him. If I missed the ball and I failed that in the past, I get the grace of God by His grace through faith in His name, and I get to go on. Lord, I want to be like You. Now, culturally, Paul was thinking of the Isthmian Games, the Corinthian Games, and also the Olympic Games, And they were around that entire area where Paul was preaching, and these runners and these sports people would do it all just to win a little wreath crown. And Paul says, and he uses the analogy. He knows how to reach his audience. We can all relate to sports. We're not idolizing sports. Some do. That's not what we do here. We worship Jesus first, don't we? First and foremost, says He owned your heart this morning. The rest we get to enjoy or weep with those who weep. But we're going to enjoy today. Anyway, so the rest of it is all secondary, tertiary, quadruplary, quintuplary. Jesus is first and foremost. We get to be like Him. He's our prize. He's our prize, church. So one thing I do, He's my one thing. I'm just going to keep running after Him. And I'll do everything I can to help you, and you'll help me, and we're going to remind each other. We gather on Sunday morning so we can cheer for each other. And when somebody gives a praise report, what do we do? What do we do in this room? Go, hey, that's great stuff. Praise God. And somebody has a need. We come and pray, and God meets them. What do? We cheer for each other. That's right. Because we're pressing on together. Wholehearted desire leading to a willing, wholehearted discipline. I seek the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Scripture says it. Luke 10, verse 27. If you want to just write down a few notes, I don't have it up here, but Luke 10, 27. Matthew 22, verse 37. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Someone's taking notes. Mark 12, 30 and 31. Luke 10, 27. Matthew 22, 37. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Mark 12, 30 and 31. Repeat the verse. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Church, how many of you know we are not part-time Christians? We're full-time Christians. I've surrendered to Jesus. I'm here for Him. Romans 12, verse 2, another good verse to take down. Romans 12, verse 2. Be transformed. Romans 12, verse 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why do we read the Bible every day, church? Because it washes us clean and reminds us and transforms us, transforms our mind into the mind of Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 26. Ephesians 5, verse 26. We are washed by the water of the Word of God. Ephesians 5, 26. See, Paul says, run to win. For the Super Bowl Christian, there's no greater desire than to be in close, dynamic relationship with Jesus. J. Vernon McGee, a great Bible teacher, said this. This is so cool. The highest desire that can possess any heart is a longing to see God. Isn't that why you've come to church this morning? I want to see You, Lord. We want Him. We wholly want Him. Wholeheartedness. Wholehearted desire. We're compelled and propelled to run with all we have. I want to be. I'm here at church because I want to be here. Did somebody drag you to church this morning? Turn to each other and say, I want to be here. How about you? Punch each other in the arm and say, quit dragging around then. No. I don't want to miss. I don't want to deny, the Scripture says in the book of Hebrews, the gathering together of the saints. There are so many believers, you guys, who don't venture past the neighborhood game. It's all casual. I go if I want to. I go when I want to. And if I don't feel like it, I don't go. It sounds like a little kid. I don't want to. Sunday morning, I don't want to go to church. Drop my microphone. I don't want to go to church. See, the Lord knows that I can't turn to anybody and say that. I have my doggies. I can say all day, I don't want to go to church. And they would look at me and say, that's fine, stay with us, Dad. I'm the pastor, I got to go. But I don't want to. Isn't that how it is in a lot of life, especially in America? You know, do discipline, be disciplined, be strong, be courageous. Go out, you can do it. I don't want to. But you know what? In church with my fellow Christians, wholeheartedness says, I want to. Yes. So I'm going to. Come on, say it with me. I want to. So I'm gonna. Say it again. I wanna. So I'm gonna. I'm gonna because I wanna. Greatest desire, highest desire that can possess any heart is a longing to see God. We want Him. We want to see Him. We want to know Him. I don't want to stand on the sidelines of life. I want Him. What does it take to become a pro athlete, church? A burning desire. And a wholeheartedness to play and to win. Vince Lombardi again, the difference between a successful person and others is not a lack of strength, not a lack of knowledge. Come on, say it with me. But rather in a lack of ouch. Paul had such a desire. You guys, I think we could probably consider Paul the Vince Lombardi of the early church, don't you think? That desire led to his decisions, to his discipline and his walk with the Lord. Desire alone isn't enough. We add to desire discipline. Wholeheartedness, number one. Number two, say it with me. I'm all in. Come on again. I'm all in. Oh, where's my hair? Where? Got to have a visual. Say it again. I'm in. Add the word all. I'm all in. I'm all in. Smile at each other. Say, I'm all in. How about you? Listen, the reality is, without spiritual disciplines in our life, we won't grow. Biblical disciplines. Stuff people used to talk about. The old-fashioned stuff. Like prayer. Like spending time in prayer. Like reading the Bible. Like going to church. Like fellowship. Like obedience. Like surrender to the Lord, like things that spring from your heart because you have your one thing. He's my one thing. And because He's my one thing, I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to let go of all the doofus mistakes and I'm going to reach forward for Him. He's my one thing. I'm all in. Paul tells us a competitor goes into strict training. He uses the analogy. He beats his body. He strains. He presses on. And we all know bodybuilders add more weight and they add in extra reps in order to increase muscle mass. And Paul felt the need to keep pushing and keep running and keep going. And maturity in Christ doesn't just happen. It takes hard work and discipline. And 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, train yourself to be godly. Hebrews 12, 7 says, endure hardship. What does that take? Desire, discipline, and something further that's a swear word in today's society, commitment. Commitment. Say it with me. Commitment. There are no shortcuts to being a Super Bowl football player. There are no shortcuts to being a Super Bowl Christian. If you want to be in peak condition, spiritual condition, growth takes work. Takes spiritual decision making and determination. Now, don't get me wrong. We're saved by grace. I know that. I'm not adding works to salvation. We're saved by grace. But do you understand ongoing walking with the Lord takes our cooperation with His grace? We cooperate with Him. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. Philippians 2. That's Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. If you're taking notes, write that down. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Way too many Christians run aimlessly. They're not after a prize, much less trying to win the prize. They're just playing a sideline neighborhood game. How many say, that's not for me? Come on, raise your hands. I want to be all the way with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Commitment. Discipline. It's not easy. It's not fun. But it's vital for success, isn't it? Tom Landry, who used to be the Dallas Cowboys coach, remember? The job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. Wow. Read that with me, will you, out loud? The job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. By the way, that also is a job of a pastor. You know, the truth is, guys, I'm being real with you. You know, if I really wanted to win a lot more in my physical body, it would look a lot different. My Seahawks checks wouldn't be out to here this morning. Spiritual discipline takes work. Many of us want to win. The reality is many or most of us don't want to suffer. The suffer part of the commitment and discipline and that it takes to get there. But to talk to anybody on either side of that Super Bowl team situation this morning, they suffered to get there. Come on, say it with me. I'm all in. Try that way. No, I'm kidding. I'm all in. Number three, no turning back. Say it with me. No turning back. It's an attitude. It's a discipline. It's a commitment. It's a heart that says, Jesus, I want to please you with every fiber of my being. Pat, you have that transparency. Would you please put that one up and just dim the light a bit just to see it, if you would please, Sam. Thank you so much. You see the football? Right close to the line. Yeah. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the goal. No turning back. No turning back. 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27, out of the Message. I don't know about you, Paul says, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and I'm staying in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. Luke 9, 61 and 62. Also another also said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Out of the Message at verse 62, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Say it with me. Seize the day. How many want to seize the day of the Lord? Come on, say it with me. I want to seize the day. I want to be everything He wants me to be. Don't you? Amen. Commitment. This attitude produces character and determination forged with purpose. Commitment. A spiritual backbone to be everything the Lord wants me to be. It takes courage to be in this society and stand up and love people with all your heart and say at the same time, I'm a dedicated, sold-out Christian. I love Jesus with every fiber of my being. Why don't you come to church with me? Let me tell you about it. It takes guts. It takes courage. It's not easy. There may be rejection, but there'll also be some who will respect you along the way. But the biggest issue is you'll get the respect of the Lord and the strength of the Lord as you stand in those trenches. Let's show people the way to Jesus. Commitment is a dying quality in life, in American life especially. But Super Bowl kind of performance and achievement isn't gained without it. Commitment. Vince Lombardi said the quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor. Once a man has made a commitment to a way of life, he puts the greatest strength in the world behind him. It's something we call, say it with me, heart power. Once a man has made this commitment, nothing will stop him short of success. Let me tell you just a little story. 1998, there was a quarterback named Tony Rice who was fighting on behalf and leading Notre Dame's football team. He led them to a national championship. But before he got there, that whole beginning of the season, sports writers were writing about him. He had erratic football throwing, and he just wasn't consistent. And they were all writing him off saying, Notre Dame doesn't stand a chance behind this guy, behind Tony Rice. But little did they know, there's a coach you know if you follow the game. His name is Lou Holtz. And Lou Holtz had bought him a dartboard, a simple dartboard. And he said to Tony Rice, I want you, son, to spend an hour every day just throwing darts. And Tony Rice thought to himself, what good is this going to do? But he did it. He threw darts an hour at a day. The board that his coach gave him, he played it an hour a day, and he led his team to the championship because he honed and got more accurate and more accurate with the commitment and the discipline. No turning back leads you to a spirit of sacrifice, giving something up for a specific purpose, sacrificing. You pay a price. Hebrews 12, verse 1 tells us, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Don't give up a yard or a foot too soon. You saw the football right at that line. Don't give up at that point. Play the game all the way through, church. Don't come up to the end of your life and say, I've been there, done that. I don't need church. I don't need people. Let's hang in there. Let's encourage each other. Let's say to each other, come on, we're going to go to the end and we're going to make the touchdown and get on with what Jesus has called us to do. Somebody say amen really loud at me. Let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. For Christians, there really is no off season. All of this produces character. Not just a one-time event. We continually train and sacrifice and run after the Lord. And I know there are some hard blows in life. I know that. I know there are some difficulties, pains. There are sufferings. I know that. But we encourage each other to get up and keep going. Don't give up on Jesus. It may not all make sense right now, but you've only got a foot to go. Pat, if you'll put that up one more time, please. You may only have a foot to go until you cross that line and get to where Jesus wants you to go. All produces character. Charles Reed, an English novelist and dramatist, wrote, and there's another quote here, and you keep praying for Pat. I got her switching back and forth this morning. He wrote these words. Sow an act, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character, you reap a what? A destiny. Philippians 3, verse 10. Paul, with his whole heart, with all of these attitudes, cried out, I want to know Christ, power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings and fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him. He was shipwrecked, left for dead, beaten, stoned. And that man produced for the Lord more of this than any other New Testament writer that we know of. Because he loved the Lord and he said, I just want to know him. I want to see him. I want to be like him. I want to keep going. I don't want to give up. A yard, a foot too short. The Apostle Paul died at the end of a Roman sword as he was most likely beheaded. He was a Super Bowl Christian. And waiting for him on the other side was a prize far greater than any Super Bowl ring could ever afford. It was Jesus himself. And I'm confident Jesus must have stood there when Paul came in and he must have been cheering for him. Come on in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You gave it your all and you played right through to the end. You didn't give up, though you wanted to at times. And I'm sure Paul went into heaven cheering too. Yay, I'm going to see him. The one I've given my whole life for. I'm going to see him. And I don't get it all, but he's got me and he's had me from the time he redeemed me. And now I get to be with him. Soon. Just a few short hours A Super Bowl trophy will be rewarded. Rings distributed eventually, money and prestige is given, and some will have bragging rights for the next year, some for the rest of their life. But today, a greater game is being played in life, and you are a key player on that field. You have a dynamic part to play. You cannot settle for being a neighborhood game player, but a Super Bowl Christian. You can win a prize that will never dim, and His name is Jesus. Choose to be a Super Bowl Christian, not just one playing in the neighborhood game. Let's see if you will be having wholeheartedness, and your attitude is, I'm all in, and you'll not turn back. What's that spell? I feel like a cheerleader. Yell leader is one. What's that spell? What's that spell? Say it backwards. Nine. Wholehearted. I'm all in. I don't want to turn back. I want Jesus. I may not understand it all. I may not be the smartest, the brightest bulb in the building. All I know is I want Him. And I want to be like Him. And I want to fulfill His will with every fiber of my being I do. You pray for me. I'll pray for you. And we'll keep cheering for each other on this journey. And that's the difference between being a neighborhood game player or being a Super Bowl Christian. Stand with me, will you? Lord, we thank You that there's so many examples we get by a big game of the day. We're not here to worship any football player. We're not here to worship a Super Bowl. We're here, Jesus, to worship You. And I thank You that the Apostle Paul was such a great example to us of what it meant to be sold out and wholehearted and being all in and not turning back. Thank You, Lord, that You're the God who does all things well. Today You see us and we surrender to You in fresh ways. We give up and we give in and we give all for You, Lord, because You gave all for us. I worship You, Lord. Will You say it with me again? Amen. I'm all in. Let's add the word all. Boom it out. I'm all in. I worship You. Almighty God, there's none like You. Oh, Lord, we're here in a surrendered way this day. We love You so much and pray that, Lord Jesus, You will be our all in all forever and ever. This world without end. And, Lord, and when we hit that touchdown, we'll look forward to seeing You face to face. Now bless Your people who have come here this morning. And as we go out, let's go out with joy and rejoicing, knowing that You are in charge. And lead us and guide us to the next step of the journey. And we'll win because You've already won. We love You, Lord. If you're here this morning and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you, surrender to Him. Let Him be in charge. He knows exactly what He's doing and how to lead you and guide you. If you've thought to yourself, I'll put my foot in the water, let me encourage you, jump in all the way. Jump in and say with me, I'm all in.
I'm all in.
And He'll know how to lead you. If you need prayer, come on up. We'll be honored to pray for you. But let's really enjoy the day, shall we? And even if you're not into football, rejoice with those who rejoice, because, Lord, one more time we pray the Seahawks will win. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. They all said?
Amen.
God bless you. Be released. Yes, Alan.
I just want to say something before you all leave. You know, I participated in high school sports, also when I was in the Army, and military sports. I have never heard a better pep talk than this gentleman gave today.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's run after the Lord, shall we? God bless you. Be released.